T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So he's back with more.
The Drive on KFH.
Ever heard of the band Spoon?
Probably not.
The Book I Write, Max's shuffle on his musical device. This is what turned up. And Max said immediately, none of these songs will embarrass me. There might be a song on my shuffle that I'll be...
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Coach Mangino joins us on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. Mark, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bob. Hope you guys are too.
What do you do on a Tuesday? We always talk to you on a Monday. So what's a Tuesday like in your world?
Tuesdays, I usually go out and watch one of the local high school teams practice. And, sometimes they ask me about different things or installing something or my opinion. But it's just kind of a way for me to hang out a little bit. That's pretty much what I do. And then every once in a while, I'll go to a college practice, here in the region where I live.
Do you find football to be more pure the younger the players are? And I guess with that in mind, what are your views on the NFL? Do you enjoy it?
I do enjoy the NFL, but not nearly as much as college football. I'm a college football guy through and through. I love the game. I love the fact you're working with young guys. You got a chance to change lives and have a positive influence on players at the college level. In the NFL, they're grown men, they're working men. You're not going to change much. You can coach them. Some of them will let you coach them, but you can coach them and draw up schemes. But in college football, you can have an impact in a positive way.
All right, we have we're talking with Mark Mangino, of course. We have Texas, Oklahoma this week down in Dallas. The traditional game, Oklahoma 5-0, Texas 4-1. I don't know that you necessarily throw records out for this game. I know you've been a part of this Red River rivalry in your coaching past. What's it like to be on the ground for this game, Mark?
Well, there's just so much excitement in Oklahoma and Texas. The week of the game, people are in the communities and, the fan bases, they're so into it. It's not unusual to see people running stop signs and red lights because you're thinking about the game rather than where they're driving. It's really a tense environment. But as a coach, you're kind of in your own little world at the office complex preparing and practicing. So it doesn't affect you that much. Where it really hits you is when you're coming in on the Texas State Fairgrounds at the, right at the Cotton Bowl there, and there are about maybe as many as 400,000 people, and they're either wearing crimson or orange, and they are either banging on your bus because they love you, or they're banging on your bus because they'd like to kill you. And then you really realize that this just isn't any game. This is a very, very special game in college football, and I've been thankful to be a part of it.
What impresses you about Lincoln Riley, who's kind of in that tree with you as an offshoot of Bob Stoops? I don't know how familiar personally or even professionally you are with him, but what do you think of Lincoln Riley as a coach with Oklahoma?
Well, I really don't know Lincoln that well, but I have watched him at Oklahoma and even at Eastern. I think he's a really good football coach. I think he's an intelligent guy. I think he has a lot of charisma. His players look to him for leadership, and he provides great leadership. I don't know if there's ever been a smoother transition at a Power 5 school than Bob Stoops to Lincoln Riley. And I think that he does a great job on offense. He's trying, you know, to get that defense going, and they've shown signs of getting better. But from a distance, I really like him. There's not much not to like about Lincoln Riley.
Mark Mangino is our guest. I wanted to ask you about a couple programs in the Big 12. One, Baylor, which kind of has snuck up on everybody to be 5-0 at this point in the season with a couple of nice wins in the Big 12, including on the road at K-State last week. And then Texas Tech, which I think we all buried after their one-sided loss to Oklahoma. And then last week they came on and beat Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech plays Baylor this week. That's an interesting game all of a sudden.
Well, it is. And, that's what happens when you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids. You never know what's going to happen, and that's part of the allure of college football. Matt Rhule at Baylor, I think he has quietly, methodically built a program there. Not a lot of fanfare. You don't see him, you know, jumping in swimming pools or dancing or, you know, all that stuff. He has been businesslike. The kids have really taken to him there. And I think both in recruiting and schematically, discipline-wise, I think he's doing a fantastic job, because he did inherit a difficult situation, a very difficult situation. He's never complained. He's never made excuses. He has just hung in there. And, you know, as I always say, you know, he just keeps on wood. The guy just keeps at it. So I really like what he's done at Baylor, and I think they're a nice ball club.
Yeah, there were some, Mark, who thought that program might never recover from Art Briles and all the terrible things that happened at Baylor. And it's really taken Matt Rhule a short amount of time to get them back into relevance.
Yeah, he has. As I said, it seems to be a nonsense.
No nonsense.
Eliminated from that, the coaching. You know how everybody's got a little gig that they do and trying to fire up the fans and the players. I think this guy's no nonsense, takes his work seriously every day, and the kids respect him.
So I guess I'll ask you about the two in-state programs, particularly, I guess, Kansas State. What did we miss maybe early, if anything, that kind of told that maybe they couldn't sustain their early start? And at Kansas, do you see any signs that they could recapture what they did against Boston College?
Well, you know, Kansas State got off to a really good start, and, you know, everybody jumps to conclusions that they're going to run the table. Kleiman's first year there, he's doing a great job. They're going to be good. They're going to win their share of games. They're going to go to a bowl game. They're going to be fine. There's no reason to panic. As far as KU, you know, I actually watched a good bit of their game against Oklahoma, and I'm just making an analysis here. I am certainly not being critical, because I know how tough it is. KU has to get some team discipline out on the field. They are in the opponent's face every snap, running around, talking. Let me tell you this, Bob. There's an old saying. You're a baseball guy, so you know it too. Let a sleeping dog lie. You know, they have a nice drive against Oklahoma. They get a pick. They get up a little bit, and they absolutely lose their poise. After nearly every play, somebody's jawing, ramming her face mask into the opponent's face mask, you know, pointing at them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oklahoma is one of the best teams in the country. Kansas is a program that recently has gone through some hard times. Don't make those guys mad. Oklahoma doesn't want to be in Lawrence last Saturday. They didn't want to be there. They want to get there, win the game. They want to get ready for Texas. Let a sleeping dog lie. Don't poke the bear, as they say. Those guys don't want to be there. Hey, listen, after every play, you should be helping them up, patting them. Let them stay in that fog that they're in. They got Kansas just every play jawing, and I'm sure that's something that the coaches are going to address this week if they haven't already at Kansas. let a sleeping dog lie. I remember one year we were playing Texas, and they were still pretty good. The next year they won a national championship. They've got Vince Young and all these players on defense. We're playing them tough. We got a chance to beat them. We're at home. At halftime, we made our adjustments and everything, and I said, hey, listen, don't make these guys mad. They don't want to be here tonight. Help them up off the ground, say nice things to them, pat them on the helmet. They don't want to be here. Don't do anything that will make them mad. And we lost the play. We lost the game on the last play of the game. But when you're building something and you've got a chance to get Goliath in the corner and you got him on the ropes, either knock him out or be nice.
Mark Mangino is our guest. He appears with us weekly to talk about college football. Why isn't Jim Harbaugh working out better at Michigan? Do you have a theory on that? Why are the Wolverines, they are 4-1, but it seems like when they get into a big game and a game that's a 50-50 game, more often than not, they don't win those games. What do you think is going on?
You know, Bob, I can't say that I'm somebody over the years that followed very intently the Michigan program. But, you know, you still watch some games when you can. You read about them. And my answer to your question is I really don't know. I don't know if it's a poise thing. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. But I have to admit, they beat a good Iowa ball club this week. Now, it was only 10-3. And I got a little chuckle because Harbaugh said, I think our offense is getting in sync now. Scored 10 points. So maybe the expectations for him ought to be higher for his ball club. I think Jim Harbaugh is a fine coach. I don't know why these things happen to them. But, you know, when you're having these kind of issues, all you can do is just step on the gas and keep going hard.
Is Ohio State the best team in the country right now, do you think? Or is it still Alabama? Or is it until someone knocks off Clemson? How do you see that?
Well, Ohio State looks really good. I mean, they're complete. Their defense is pretty staunch. Their offense is very productive. They really do look like a complete team. You never count Alabama out. They're still a really good team. They're always well coached, so you don't want to leave them out of the equation. Clemson had a little scare, but Clemson has a history of laying an egg once a season. Syracuse beat them 1 year. Pitt beat them 1 year. They struggle with North Carolina. They do that once a year. I still think they're a really good football team. I really do. And, you know, a lot of people talking up Georgia. You know, I like Georgia. I think they'd be a better football team if Josh Fields was their quarterback. But, and you got to also keep in mind Oklahoma. Oklahoma, even though their defense is not exactly where they want it, they're explosive. They're so explosive on offense that they can beat anybody any day they line up with that offense. So it's interesting. You know, a lot of football to be played, but those teams seem to be the ones that have caught my eye.
And LSU, I'll bet, has caught your eye, right?
Yeah, LSU, too. I keep forgetting about LSU. You know, everybody, you know, when you're talking with people, and I shouldn't do that because I think LSU, you know, ever since they discovered the forward pass, they are really good.
They are good.
They are, you know, Joe Burrow's putting up big numbers. He's got leadership. Their defense, which is always salty, is really salty now. Yeah, don't let me leave LSU out of there.
And I know you want to wait, Mark, and we're talking with Mark Mangino. You want to wait a couple weeks before you start to say too much about what's going on in college football. But the appearance is at least there potentially that this is going to be as deep a season that we've had in terms of high-quality teams. It might be tough to find the four best for the college football playoff.
I agree with you. I really do. This could be the first year since they put the playoff system in that there's going to be some real head scratching going on, and there's going to be four happy teams and maybe as many as three really unhappy teams.
Yeah.
But that's the playoff system we have. We got to live with it. Everybody knew it in the beginning of the season, only four go. But I think there's going to be some fireworks at the end of the year here, Bob. There's no question.
Mark, we really look forward to these weekly visits with you. Thanks for doing them, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Bob. I enjoy it, too. You guys take care.
All right. There's a Mark Mangino. He appears weekly on this show, and I don't know of any other show he's appeared on. So apparently the guy likes being here.
Yeah, he's exclusive to us, apparently.
Yeah, we enjoy it. All right, we'll take a break, come back with Jive Talk. My thoughts on my Raiders.
Please.
My thoughts on your Browns.
No, I'm a Ravens guy, as you know.
Lots of interesting things going on in the NFL as well. We'll break it down and open up the phones, 869-1240. Jive Talk, it's your chance to take over this show. Back in a minute.
KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.